escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Happy Monday to you. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Been a fun one thus far. Hot one, right?
Very hot.
Okay.
Very good. Wednesday, the first day, and today were the hottest.
Okay. Are you charting? But you're charting how hot the days are?
I will tell you.
Oh, man. Good day out there on the practice fields when it came to the Texans and getting ready for the 2025 season. Real quick, just to circle back to some of the things that we kind of noted. I mean, the tight ends, and we, as you heard with Brevin Jordan, appreciation of Brevin sitting down with us again coming off the practice field. Tight ends really were involved. I was very intrigued, and it was a little disappointing for me personally not being on the end zone. Like, I'm going to complain, as I am wont to do from time to time, to be on the end zone furthest from where they was, where they were getting some of the
red zone stuff.
And they had some jump ball practice at independent wide receivers as well. I think you might have gotten an eye on some of that. But yeah, they got the ball to some tight ends. They got the Irv Smith even got a look in the red zone. So yeah, I'm very intrigued because that part is going to be very important for this Texas team in the 25 season, trying to get your red zone, you know, be able to punch in for seven as opposed to settling for three, which they did a lot.
Yeah, and the tight ends have been involved in showing some stuff. And as we mentioned with Brevin Jordan, wide open, fair, even competition. I did feel kind of bad because I mentioned with Brevin, four tight ends. I should have thrown Irv in there. I forgot about Irv.
That's you're like, oh, man, Irv just over there blocking. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Mean. all right, so I mentioned, been doing this 2024 rewatch. It continues on week 15 versus the Miami Dolphins. This is coming off of the bye week, baby. We are hyped and we are ready to go for the, you know, the final stretch of the season, including a very tight, condensed schedule where you get Miami, Kansas City, Baltimore in fairly quick succession, right? I think you remember those kind of conversations. Is there anything else that you recall from the Week 15 matchup against Miami?
Defense dominated. Derek Stingley doing his thing. It was very clear by this point. This defense is, as far as they go, they're going to go with the defense.
100%. That was absolutely a big takeaway. Very early, Sting rallies. There's a number of tackles for loss. Like, if anybody had any concerns about Derek Stingley as physical run defender, right, getting up in the run game, This is a game that you go to put the film on to say, no.
Yeah.
He's willing to get up. He's willing to make some good hits. I think there was three of them that I counted. Foley Fatukasi, still good at shedding blocks, all those things. But I've been trying to focus on some of the bigger points as I get through this. A hip drop tackle on Joe Mixon in this one that was uncalled again. He was had a noticeable limp, had to come off the field for a measure of time. Now, again, we're seeing the ramifications of that with him having some workouts in the offseason that exasperated that, and that's put us in the place here with the Texans running back-wise where we are watching the running back room kind of intently, especially when is Damian Pierce going to make it back out to show his wares? What does Nick Chubb still have in the tank? I know that he's physical. We're seeing that. We're seeing the pass protection, but that explosion, at least in my estimation, does not seem in the same way. I think he seemed to kind of acknowledge that in some ways in his media availability today, but that's going to be something that we watch going forward.
Yeah, I mean, this game directly impacts the big news over the weekend. You know, we're talking about Joe Mixon, some sort of aggravation, some sort of problem with the ankle foot, whatever it might be.
Ankle foot. All right.
Whatever. It's been reported both. So we'll see, but yeah, direct impact. You just touched on another hip drop.
All right, so defense that we're talking about here, as we're spinning things forward, this was really fun. This was quintessential. This is the defense, and this is also some evidence and some pointing to what D'Amico Ryan seemingly has as a goal, or at least some level of hope for this defense, which is no longer just getting to the quarterback, but also getting that ball loose. In the second quarter, the defensive line did their big one. D'Amico Autry is really working on the right guard. Eichenberg, I'm not gonna lie, kind of looks like a hands to the neck, almost hands to the face. I imagine if the ref would have called it, I don't know how mad I could have been. But he works that man back into Tua Tagovailoa's lap. Will Anderson Jr. simultaneously. Stab Club, remember we were talking about it with him? That stab club that he really enjoyed towards the back end of the season. That technique, he uses that, wins on the left edge. He's coming around the backside, wins pretty clean, and he wraps Tua up for a sack, but he gets his arms, and that ball comes loose. Daniil off the right side, almost scoops and scores. He almost overruns it. Now Tim Settle scoops it himself, trying to get free. Like, this was all four of your frontline guys. Some of the guys I think you can expect pretty much all of these guys to have some level of impact this year. One I actually have a question about, but they all kind of come together, apply quick pressure, knock the ball out, turn the ball over. This is the platonic ideal of this defensive line this season as well.
Not only that, and it's something that as we've been seeing on and over again through training camp thus far, 5 days in the books, this is something that they seem to be better at and certainly are emphasizing more. And with the experience as a third year under DeMeco with the system, we should expect more games like this where the defense, you know, not just carries the weight, but gives the offense their big assist.
DeNico Autry is an interesting name, right? Because DeNico was a guy who you brought in from Tennessee and you were expecting to make big waves. Obviously, you missed him for a period of time. But when he played fairly well. However, did it feel like it lived up to kind of what the expectations or what the thoughts of what it could be for DeNico Autry before? And I ask that just because if we're spinning this forward, how much of an impact do you anticipate DeNico Autry having this season, especially the return of Sheldon Rankins? We know that he can get upfield. Tim Settle had a, I mean, I don't know if I want to call it a breakout, but he had a fantastic 2024. And these are all guys that I know that they like rotating, but those are guys that very well could establish some strengths on the interior. And then the exterior, you have a lot of pass rush.
Yeah, look, that's an interesting question because DeNico Autry had his moments, obviously.
100%. But this is one of those, in fact.
But I don't think necessarily the breadth of the season and his performance was necessarily what we expected, to answer your question. And right now, for what it's worth, you know, they rotate so much. I think Tim Settle and Sheldon Rankins are getting a lot of run on the inside.
Yeah.
A lot.
I asked the question. I should have gone to double check. I do wonder, and I'm not here trying to get rid of people's jobs. So I want to make that clear. But when you have a salary cap sport and you have a zero-sum game, I do wonder, especially for a guy of that caliber. And, I mean, not saying he's making a crazy amount of money. I think last time I checked, it was like single-digit million dollars, right? But, I mean, could you find some space, especially where you have a robust amount of pass rushers, especially in as your start? You found what you were looking for in this defensive line last year. And as you mentioned, he was a part of it. Don't get me wrong. As I mentioned, this was the textbook play for the defense, and he was there. But I don't know how quintessential he is to it.
I think that's a fair question, especially as you have guys, you know, among the guys rotating on the inside, not just Tim Settle and Sheldon Rankins, but Mario Edwards, who had a very good year last year in the mix as well. So we'll see.
All right, in this game, you also have, this is what I called a Bullock trademark game. Bullock, I should say. Make sure I say his name correctly. He had one interception here. I mean, he had a number of interceptions.
He had a drop, didn't he, too?
Yeah, he had a drop as well. Yeah. There could have been another one. Tua kind of made some bad tosses, not reading properly, but there was a couple of plays. One of them was dropped. The other one is just kind of like, Bullock is the high safety, but, you know, your cornerbacks kind of get deep. It looked like maybe there's a cover two roll. I'm not the best at breaking down what exactly is defensive formation, so don't let me get too lion or defensive coverage. But Bullock is intentionally sitting over the middle of the field. And this, for me, was an acknowledgement of Bullock, rookie last year, but rookie who developed into a type of vet by that point in the year, week 15, because he knows this is Tua Tagovailoa. This is an offense that's trying to get the ball out quickly, and we're going to speed them up even more with our defensive line, as evidenced by the quick strip sack by Will Anderson Jr. in the play that I previously talked about. And he's just sitting underneath he's well underneath the post that is thrown, as if it's thrown to him, and he's breaking forward on the football. Like, this was just quintessential. This was a fantastic play by Bullock, and I think that it probably goes to show that this team is going to continue to be even more of a takeaway defense.
And now let's dig a little deeper into that. Kalen Bullock is so good for this defense, not just because of his ball skills, as we've talked about, and they seem to be on display again. We talked about him this morning, just the way that he goes and gets the ball. But not only that, you have the edge rushers, as you mentioned, and you have cornerbacks, especially Derek Stingley, just eliminating one player, which sort of limits the amount of or the space available for a quarterback like Tua Tagovailoa. Keep in mind, Tyreek Hill only had two catches
correct
in this game because of Derek Stingley.
following him.
Yeah, and so that helps the safety, especially when there's edge rushers, maybe a little rushed, and he's perfect for this defense at the safety position.
One more thing on this particular play, the Bullock interception that he takes for a good amount of yardage, just shallow. He takes it in the red zone, just shy of being able to find that final corner and get into the end zone. On the interception, he goes to the ground, but he pops up immediately and he's going the other way. And maybe I'm stretching, maybe I'm reaching here. You can tell me if that's the case. That feels indicative of the fact that this team isn't just trying to turn the football over.
Oh, yeah.
They are looking to, like, the turnover is the expectation. And that's kind of what D'Amico has kind of been, it sounds like that's what he's talking about.
It is.
Pushing it to an even different. This defense is trying to turn the football over and go score. Like, well, those seem like those are built in. Like, the, I think with a general normal NFL defense, the idea is, all right, maybe we could turn the football over and then cool. The idea seems to be built in that we are going to turn the football and when we're going to go score.
Make no mistake about it. Nico Collins, C.J. Stroud, Joe Mixon if healthy, Nick Chubb, Christian Kirk. There are weapons on the offense. But the defense considers themselves collectively a bigger weapon for this team. They want to be a weapon. They want to turn the ball over and score and win games. And I'm telling you, the early takeaways from, obviously that was a great indicator, that game against Miami. But from training camp now, as you're moving forward, this is an outstanding secondary, and they're proving it every day.
Yeah, and I just, it's funny because I keep thinking internally to myself, one of the kind of truisms of football that I kind of hold within myself is turnovers are kind of a year-to-year proposition. They're not in the things
I have said that myself.
To carry over per se. And I'm like, how do I justify that with that thought with looking at this Texans defense? And I think they are going to remain a turnover defense.
No, I do too. But I also subscribe to the thought you just said. It's hard to predict a team's going to have whatever number of turnovers one year and come close to duplicating that or exceed it the next year because it's so flighty. It's so weird. This defense, I do expect them.
Yeah, and it's, I guess if I was to answer my own kind of thought, it's because they're very rarely are they turnovers of circumstance. I can look at a number of the turnovers that the Texans defense made in this 2024 season that I've, you know, kind of looked at in rewatching it, and I can see where they're generated. Just like with this one with Kalen Bullock. Kalen is sitting down in that space with a clear acknowledgement that I know you're trying to get it to the middle. I know you don't have the time, maybe not even the arm if you want to, you know, kind of shoot at Tua to go over the top of me.
Yeah.
I know that this is the space that you're throwing into, and thus all it requires is me to play basically like I'm catching off the jugs machine.
Yeah, and you talk about force. What he did there and what he did today broke up the very first pass that C.J. Stroud made, could have been a pick, and then had another one that was off his hands. Those are forced turnovers. They're not like, oh, he dropped the ball and we fell on it, you know?
And then here comes one more of the defense as I'm just going ahead and looking at this game. You mentioned it was a defensive game. 20-12 was the final score. I mean, two field goals and a touchdown with a missed extra point was all that the Miami Dolphins got. And they were down that 8 points with the ball and an opportunity to try and go score. It was a Phillip Rivers situation, as I like referring to him. And the very first opportunity that they did to try and throw it up there, you're looking at me crazy, Colin. You don't understand the Phillip Rivers situation?
I had never heard that
reference before. All right, so to be fair, it is not widespread. It is something I believe in myself, but you watched a little bit of Phillip Rivers play, right?
Of course. Right. Antonio Gates was one of my favorite tight ends watching growing up.
Tell me that every game that you watched Phillip Rivers play, particularly for the Chargers, did not end up, no matter what the game looked like, with him, Chargers having the ball, 45 seconds, having to go the length of the field, no touchdown.
You're right.
I guarantee if I charted it, it's probably like 60% of the games ended like that. And that's where the Miami Dolphins were. First play of the game, they try and throw it up to go to your best player, right? Tyreek Hill. Psych, here's Stingley. And this is the TV broadcast because it was just so good.
Houston will win a second consecutive AFC South title. Miami needs to win and get help. Here's a long pass looking for Hill. And it's picked off. It's intercepted. Stingley's done it again! Stingley has done it again! Hill had it, and then he just took it away!
That was the right place to go with the football. You've got Tyreek one-on-one in man coverage. It was underthrown a little bit. Tyreek tried coming back to get it. He has his hands on it.
Oh.
But Stingley has that right arm in between Hill's two arms and is able to rip the ball out.
Man, that's exactly what you're talking about. Force play. You heard him say, you know, right place to take the ball and still got it picked.
That was interception number two for Derek Stingley on the day. And it, when you needed it, generated the way that you wanted to. Like, the final point that I have on this one before we move on the rewatch is this, the defense, if they are humming like this out the gates, which I believe them capable of, some mm-hmm. of the things that kind of slowed them down as you had a couple of rookies who were starting, those guys are continuing to start and they're no longer rookies. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that I see a portion of this defense that is not up to speed on week one.
Yeah.
This is a team that legitimately defensively carried them to this win. 131 yards passing for CJ in this game. 35 yards for Dare as your highest
leading rusher.
Leading rusher. Joe had 12 for 23 in this game. Like, you're not looking at the offense like, yo, they did a whole bunch mm-hmm. When it comes to moving the football. This was a defense won this game, and it felt like they won it kind of handling. It's because this defense is capable of doing that. I love the idea that they have that, and you're going to need it early on this season as the offense is trying to fully solidify what they are.
And they got better. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, others coming in and bringing in, by the way, with Gardner-Johnson, and even more of that mentality and that approach, and we're going to make you turn the ball over.
Yeah, so there you go. That's a rewatch of Week 15 versus the Miami Dolphins of the 2024 season. Continuing to love this and get excited. It's fun watching during training camp. I did not anticipate doing this, but it's fun seeing kind of the ways in which the overlaps happen from the 24 season and what mm-hmm. we're seeing in 2025 moving forward. So excited for that. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Fig is out on the day rehabbing himself. I'll let him tell you what happened to the man over the weekend, but I will be taking over Figgy's mixtape coming up next. And coming up, another reason why you shouldn't use AI as a search engine. I got that for you. And also, J.J. Watt notches yet another achievement. But is the feat impressive or cheating? We'll talk about that more next.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed. It is Figgy's Mixtape right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Monday to you. I am not Figgy Fig. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig got the day off. Colin Neal is on the ones and twos. Thank you, sir. Of course, John Lopez always riding with me. Colin, do you want to give the update as to why what you heard about why Figgy Fig is not in the seat that you currently occupy?
I would like to say it's a back discomfort.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
I heard he can't walk.
Is that the Astros multiplier that you're using there?
I heard he can't walk.
Is his spine 60% healed?
Hey, I think so. I think that sounds about right.
We're ADA appliant, so.
You mean compliant?
Compliant.
There we go. Compliant. I was like, I don't think I'm compliant for ADA. I don't think that's how that works.
So he'll roll on in here tomorrow.
So wait. Well, roll. But if he doesn't get a wheelchair, do one of y'all have to probably carry him up the?
I can tell you who it's not going
to
be.
Well, that's the thing. Lopez went and hurt himself this weekend, too, so it would have to be me. However, right. I'm only 2 weeks off of donating bone marrow, so I don't even think I was supposed to be. We just going to be SOL if that's the case. Yeah. If one of us got to carry him. But no, that's.
Thoughts and prayers, man.
Of course. Sincerely, actually, thoughts with Figgy Fig at the Figgy Fig on social media if you want to send him some well wishes. But I did set this thing up, Figgy's mixtape, by telling you that I have another reason why you shouldn't use AI as a search engine. And look, I specifically added as a search engine because I think we know, if you listen to this program, you know, not the biggest fan of generative AI. And AI, honestly, AI in the public consumption, like I do think there are purposes and uses for artificial intelligence that have been very useful, obviously, like when it comes to some medical fields and things of that nature and professional realms that I think it can be helpful. I am not really here for the generative AI, but we got a little bit of a story. And understand, I'm trying to be as as fair, as neutral as possible. But this comes from TechCrunch. Is that a does that strike you?
I'm good with it. Veritable? I'm good with it.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Sam Altman, who is the chairman of ChatGPT or of the company that OpenAI, I believe, that owns ChatGPT. He's the CEO, I should say. He's given us a reason. Something he said this weekend gives us a reason to think twice about using AI for therapy, emotional support, or just kind of like asking general things. Because I know some people have started using these things like their Google or Bing or one of those things. Altman said, in response to a question about how AI works with the legal system, Altman said that one of the problems of not yet having legal policy or framework for AI is that there's no legal confidentiality for users.
That could be problematic.
Quote, people talk about the most personal S in their lives to ChatGPT. People use it, young people especially, as a therapist, a life coach, having these relationship problems and asking, what should I do? Mm-hmm. And right now, if you talk to a therapist or a lawyer or a doctor about those problems, there's legal privilege, right? Yeah. They can't go telling your business. There's doctor-patient confidentiality. And we haven't figured that out yet for chat when you talk to ChatGPT. What does that mean, Lopez?
That means it's all out there. It could be.
So look, I know a lot of people listening are like, well, what does that mean to me? I'm not trying to go be a criminal. But if you happen to end up in a situation where someone suspects you to be, your ChatGPT, your AI conversations can be gotten.
And this is the part that just boggles the mind. I've dabbled like everybody, but the only time I've ever like used it is when I'm driving in my truck and I hit the button, the Siri button, whatever. Like somebody said, hey, what was the blah, blah, blah? And I just ask, on my truck so I don't have to pick up my phone or whatever. That's generally the only time I use it.
Oh, so you can't Google?
Yeah, because you're driving, so you can't Google, so I'll do that.
The exact way that you talked about talking to the ChatGPT is how you would talk to Google.
But I don't want to pick up my phone and go to Google and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Just your car got the AI button in it. Wow, look at the wealth. You see the wealth on this, Colin?
Hey, Siri, what's the square root of 22?
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. But here's where I have an issue with people.
Just generally?
Just with
people. We might need a minute. Go ahead and ISO for me. Just clear out.
I think you'll agree with me. Why are you trying to build a relationship with AI, with a machine, with a program? Like what you're talking about here is people are like, ask for advice about personal issues, ask for advice about relationships, ask for advice about money. We've heard stories already. And in fact, we heard it on the mixtape a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
Of
your preeminent source of AI news, yes, Stiggy's mixtape.
Yes. Where someone was actually like broke up because he had a relationship with some woman on AI. If you are building a relationship, AI is basically an easy Google, and it's not that accurate.
But it's not, because it's not doing the thing where it's finding you source material. It's just feeding stuff that it finds off the internet. Is it verifiable that it's correct information?
No.
Who knows?
In fact, one of my confessions one day was I used AI for something and it said, check for details, checks for mistakes in the details. I'm like, well, what's the use of using it if I'm having to check mistakes?
It's just a large language model, man. It's just like, hey, we put in a lot of language and this can kind of find a way to artificially put those words together in a way that kind of seems sentient, but it's not. It is a big old bag of throwing things back at you.
Yes. The dumbest thing is like you're building a relationship. There's no other way to describe it with this program, this bot, this machine. That's to me like you're doing it all wrong.
Well, yes, that is my original reason why I would not use that in those ways. Mm-hmm. But the additional reason is if you happen to do something that might run afoul of the law.
Yes. It's there.
They got you.
Yeah.
They will be like, don't think, oh, you can't check my, I'll just lock my computer. Nope. ChatGPT will not be your friend. They will snitch on you.
Yeah, it's there.
Snitch on you.
It's mind blowing.
That's
please,
right.
Please don't do this.
That's right. All right, Figgy's mixtape right here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Atatula holding it down for Figgy Fig, who has the day off. And are you familiar with one Justin James Watt?
Vaguely, yeah.
Who?
Didn't he play here?
I believe he did for a good amount of time. His name is up there in the rafters of that building there off of Kirby. He's a big-time Houston Texan, but he's also a Wisconsin boy.
Mm-hmm.
We've always known that about him. And so, he went to a Brewers game, and he did the thing that that everybody cares about when it comes down to this.
Which you did
is the 999 challenge. Not quite. I did 9 shots instead of 9 beers. I think we've discussed at great length the reason why that's not the same, because you don't have the sloshing around in your stomach.
I've been meaning to ask you how that went.
Went perfectly fine. Yeah. Outside of the time that I jammed my finger in these very heavy studio doors.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It is still, my fingernail is still black from the
is
blood pulling.
Is that still
underneath.
From that?
Yeah, that's the
I've
blood
noticed
pulling.
That. That's
it takes a while for the blood pulling to work out from underneath
that's
from the
crazy.
Nail bed.
That's what happens when you're drunk.
Or when you're not paying attention, which can happen when you're drunk, to be fair. But yeah, so that went well for me. But JJ Watt, in true JJ Watt fashion, we expect him to almost be superhuman. Tell me, does this count as incredible feat, or does this count as cheating? Because he did the 999 challenge, except he did it in a slightly different way. I do appreciate the story that I'm reading off of. Make sure that you know that he's 6'5", 288 when he's listed. So he's a big man. But 9 innings of the baseball game, 9 hot dogs, 9 beers.
Right.
He knocks it down, except he does it as a 5.5 9-9 because in 5.5 innings is when he knocks down all 9 beers and 9 hot dogs. Now, what's your first impression when I tell you he did all that in 5.5?
Very, very impressed.
Okay.
How could you not be? 9-9-9 in 5.5? Well, 5.5 9-9
Whichever way. Like the point is getting across. Yeah. He does it in damn near half the time, a little bit over an inning over half the time. That's not what the internet says.
What?
The internet is not with you on the idea that this is super impressive. They think actually this is cheating.
How?
All right, so that is a good question. The thought process is the whole difficulty of the 999 challenge is not just that you're eating a lot of food, but that you're eating it over a period of time where you have the time for your body to feel full, and you have to find a way to push through that. So the idea is you have one beer and one hot dog in the inning. Like we've all had Thanksgiving, and I think we've all been at a point in our lives, some of us still there, where the objective of Thanksgiving is not just to spend time with your family and eat good food. Yeah. It is to try and house as many plates of food as you possibly can. Colin, are you still in this time period yourself?
What time period?
The period of your life where your objective during Thanksgiving is just to house food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
unfortunately for me, I got out of that like 3-4 years ago, and I can't put as many plates down.
Yeah.
But you eat quickly before your body realizes it's full, right?
Right, right.
That doesn't work when you have to wait every inning, and it works over time. Mm-hmm. So people are saying this is actually
it would have been harder.
It would have been harder if he went with one hot dog and a beer every inning as opposed to housing them all in 5.5.
I kind of hear you on that. You know, I read something recently. Well, it's been out there but I read it again recently. That your body doesn't really feel full until 20 minutes after you eat. You know, that's why people say, eat your plate of food and then, you know, kind of push it away and you'll be fine, even though you feel like you should keep eating and you get seconds or whatever and you get fat. I can kind of see that, but it's still damn impressive.
I know, right? It's just like that is an ungodly amount of hopefully beef hot dogs. Because if we're just talking about any hot dogs, only God knows what mincemeat is going in there.
So the next step then is 18 challenge. Like he has to do 18 hot dogs, 18 beers, and 9 innings. I mean, think about it. He's not the typical human being. I mean, if we're being honest here, I think that will be similar to us doing the 999.
I'm kind of leaning toward what the internet has said. It's kind of opened my eyes. He just pounded it. You know, he pounded the beers and dogs.
Ayo, first and foremost. And then secondly.
I mean, he pounded the heck out of it.
All right. Yeah. Okay, now you're doing it intentionally. But do you feel like this means that JJ needs to get back in the booth and do it again? Or do we just need to, like, let it lie where it is?
Knowing JJ, well, not like we text every day, but just knowing about him, I'll bet you he does it again just to kind of quiet the critics. I'll show you. I'll do 999 just the way it was drawn up.
Let's ask AI.
Yeah, that is the appropriate response
in
this particular segment to do that, right?
At Grok.
I have seen a lot of people doing that on on X, Twitter, whatever you like to call it. Yeah. All right, Figgy's mixtape right here on Sports Radio 610. I did want to ask you about this one. I've been holding on to this one because I think you know enough about me to know that one player in all of sports that has constant resonance in my brain is Barry Bonds.
Oh, yeah.
and just because he was an insane human being, an incredible player. Barry Bonds and Gary Sheffield were both asked this question about Barry Bonds and had different answers. And I want to know which of these that you agree with. Again, 713-572-4610. Let me know what you think, as you guys are always getting, you know, playing along in the mixtape. So Barry Bonds was asked if at his current age, which I believe Barry is in his 60s.
Is he already in his 60s? Dang.
Well, actually, let me make sure I get that right, because I might just call him older than he actually is, which would be unfair to Barry Bonds. But yes, Barry Bonds is 61.
Dang.
61 years of age. Crazy how fast that happens, huh?
Dang.
But Barry Bonds, 61 years of age, was asked, right now, you think you could hit 100? As in, if somebody throws 100 miles per hour at you, do you think you can hit it? Barry Bonds believes one thing. Gary Sheffield believes the other. First and foremost, which do you believe, or what do you think of the responses from those gentlemen?
I don't think he could hit 100 mile an hour.
You don't?
I don't. I think maybe 85, 90. I mean, that we all know it goes quick, you know, and it's hand eye, it's reflexes and all that. Like, look, he could get a lot closer than most human beings on Earth, and maybe he could. My gut tells me I don't think so.
So as you will not be shocked to believe or to hear, Barry Bonds believes that as long as he can see it, he can hit it.
Yeah.
He believes that he can hit 100 miles an hour at 61 years of age right now. Gary Sheffield said absolutely not.
Yeah. I just think the reality is no, but if anybody could, I'll put it this way, if anybody could do it, it'd be someone like Bonds, someone like Ichiro, somebody who can, you know, who has had that muscle memory and knows the timing and all that. It's just, will your body, will your reflexes react? Like, I think in his mind, he'll see it and know when to swing and know. I just don't think he can.
Now, to be fair, you know? I think that the question is, can he hit it? Not can he send it out of the park?
No, just hit it.
And I think I'm just too much in the cult of Barry Bonds and how incredible he is as a baseball player. I sincerely believe him to be the best hitter that I've ever seen, at the very least. Because I was going to say ever existed, but we was playing back in the 1800s. And what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
But with that being the case, somebody said, Barry Bonds, who was on steroids? But I believe that he could. Now, in order, as being someone who does not believe that he could, How many at bats, or how many swings or chances at it do you think it would take for you to get to a place where you go, yeah? Because I think I was thinking in the course of a regular AB, if he was getting 100 mixed in there, I do think he could hit it. But how, if he was just in front of 100, now a pitcher, not a hitting machine, and a pitcher throwing 100 consistently, how long you think it would take for Barry Bonds to get that hit?
I just feel like it would probably be, he'd need to see 10 or 12 pitches and not swing at them all, because then that's another factor. But you hear people talking about it all the time. Like, their mind is just on point. You know, they're so sharp. Their reactions in their mind are just like they've always been, you know. That doesn't translate to boom, boom, you know, and getting it done and getting the bat on the ball.
I believe it. I believe you can. Barry, if you're listening, which I know you do, I'm sure you listen every day.
You got Barry Bonds back on this.
I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Mookie Wilson said, if I believe in dinosaurs and dinosaurs believe in you, you can do it. And I think the dinosaurs believe in Barry Bonds.
You're not helping your cause there.
What? Why
you're
not?
You're not really helping your cause.
I feel like I might have been in the sun a lot today. I feel like that might be affecting what's happening
here. You're just
tired,
man.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. That's a little bit of a Figgy's mixtape here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you guys getting involved. Somebody said they want their AI/ChatGPT to be integrated like Jarvis from Iron Man. Okay, you're going all the way that far. But a number of people pointing out that, yeah, even search engines don't work very well. So definitely don't use your AI as a search engine in that space. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. See Steve, who said your thoughts on Colorado head coach Deion Sanders being diagnosed with bladder cancer. I mean, it is good that it seems like, according to him, they were able to remove the tumor and that he is, quote unquote, cancer free. Right. And so that is ultimately a good thing. And I'm not going to lie, hearing that there was going to be a medically related press conference from him, I was wondering, especially with the number of, you know, kind of medical things that he's dealt with, if this was going to be him saying goodbye to Colorado. Because I think whether you believe in his ability to continue to, you know, have them step up and possibly at some point compete to win the Big 12 championship, the intrigue is worth it, right? Yeah, for the sport of college football, the intrigue of what is he doing to Colorado, and, you know, I want to watch those games. I think that's inherently good for everybody. in the sport. All right, coming up next, it's a Monday. Our staples kind of made us move, or we move around with training camp. We're obviously at the behest of what happens out there at the Houston Methodist Training Center. But coming up next, before we hand off to the fellas of the drive, Clinton, Ron, let's do a little winners and losers of the weekend. 713-572-4610. Who won, who lost on the weekend? We'll talk about that next.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Fun day here in the great city of Houston, Texans. Another Houston, Texas with the Houston Texans. Another day of Houston Texans training camp. Again, in summary, and I know that the fellas of the drive will keep all of that conversation going. It was a day where the defense continues to be ahead, I think is the way we would put this, but the offense definitely made strides as pads went on. And we talked to Brevin Jordan about it, and I'm sure that the offensive line would also echo this. A lot better when you have something to grab onto trying to stop mm-hmm. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Tim Settle, all the fine folks on that defensive line.
Yeah, and they needed it. That would have been my takeaway if I was in that offensive room. Whew. Another bad day would have sent a lot of sirens going off, no matter how early it is. You know?
You know.
And they weren't great, but they were better.
Right. So I guess let's do this in the context, winners and losers of the weekend, because we can also get into the Saturday of this all. And a big winner, Miss Janice McNair.
Janice McNair
is going into the Ring of Honor for the Houston Texans. It only makes sense, right? Like, she is a huge part of bringing football back to baseball. Obviously, you can talk about Bob McNair and the role that he plays, but this is a family affair. It's always been a family organization. And Janice, obviously, Miss Janice, I want to make sure I say that correctly. I don't want nobody to assume that I am trying to levy any level of disrespect to Miss Janice. But, I mean, she also helped bridge the gap from that time period to where we are now. So 100% Miss Janice makes sense that she goes in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, you know that, you know, I actually nominated her last year for the Houston Sports Award Hall of Honor, the Lifetime Achievement. And so I'm a huge fan of what she's done. It's not just, you know, being part of the team at the top of the organization. She was the primary owner of this organization for, mm-hmm. what, 3 years,
yeah.
Or thereabouts, and has done incredible stuff in the community and beloved. And, you know, she goes out there, man. She goes out there. She's got her tent. She goes out to practice. She loves this squad.
I mean, was out there today.
She was out there today. She was out there Saturday. 100% I back this.
Some other winners and losers. Y'all already coming in on the text line. I see you, 832, making mention of the Astros losing a series, getting swept by the Athletics, the unhoused Athletics, as I tend to refer mm-hmm. to them as. And I guess in a way, you could also talk about a winner being Nick Kurtz. Like, that dude is just, he's far and away, running away with the AL Rookie of the Year, and he showed why. That dude is huge. That dude mashes. It's always fun when you get to, in some degrees, it's not fun when you lose games in for it and you lose 15-3 on a Friday night when you're supposed to head into a fun weekend. But it is fun when you get an opportunity to see a really good player come into town and watch him at his craft. And that was the bittersweet nature of watching Nick Kurtz on a Friday.
It was incredible. You mentioned it, 19 bases.
Tied for the most in baseball, in a single game in baseball history.
Is that good?
19.
Not for the Astros,
bases.
I'll tell you that.
Pretty incredible. And four home runs could have easily been five. And, you know, there's been some discussion. Yeah, well, the last one was against Cooper Hummel. You know, how much? Dude, it counts.
Hit the mess out of it.
It counts. By the way, a little bit of Astros news, I think.
Okay, upwards inflection, question mark.
Yes. Lindsey Singleton, John's better half.
Yes.
Just tweeted, let me break the news, John was just DFA'd.
Oh, so Big John no longer wearing 35, I guess.
Yeah.
So that opens back up. But no, so you
This is her. This is her.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's true or not. But according to his wife,
I don't know why she would just say that for no reason.
According to his wife.
So what's the corresponding move in your mind? Because I mean, you just put another person on the IL. I don't know that. I mean, Brandon Walter went on the IL, so I don't know that you're doing that for the sake of creating a space.
Mm-hmm.
We are 4 days away from the trade deadline.
We are.
Is it possible that you're seeing a level of move, and that is a space made in order to accommodate some level of a big leaguer coming in on the 40-man?
And also, in keeping with the winners and losers, is John Singleton a winner or a loser?
Well, I don't want to say it directly like that, but it feels like it's got to be a loser of sorts. Like this dude.
But he also came up, got a start.
He did, but how much does that benefit him having to continue to bounce around and not find a place where he can stick and maybe try and find some development to progress his career? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think he's just trying to be in Houston and have a start here. And I think he wants to continue to progress his career and have opportunities to play consistently. And this clearly is not that for him.
Yeah, we'll see. But that I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, that's a good throw in there.
From Lindsey Singleton.
All right, can I get this? I feel like this is a winner on the weekend. Nikola Jokic.
Yes.
And I guess it's a winner depending on who you look. If you're a Denver Nuggets fan, I know that this is inherently is still good for you, but it kind of feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
He had a horse, one of his horses in his stable. He is a huge horse level race and win over the weekend. And I don't know that I've ever seen Nikola Jokic display the amount of emotion that he displayed. And he has won a NBA championship. In fact, I saw a video that had side by side the video of him celebrating his horse with a champagne bottle. And the video of him with a champagne bottle after winning the NBA championship, and it looked like two different people. It looked like he did not know what the champagne bottle was with the NBA championship. He didn't know how to get, you know, the spray or everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that man looked like he was the happiest man to have ever lived and graced our God's green earth. That man really does not care about he cares about basketball, but he's like, it just does not move him like horse racing does.
It's funny. He has to care deeply about basketball to be
there's
that
no
good.
Way that you're that good.
Yeah, he has to.
Actually, do you agree with that?
I always do.
It's impossible to be that good at anything
that
if you don't care.
We know what the work it takes to be that good. You have to. I mean, sometimes it's just a job for some, but you're not that good. If you're that good, you have to love the game. I think part of it is this is his hobby. This is his passion. And the other, as much as it's a love, he loves basketball, it's also a means to an end. And I think he feels like he's really good at it, and he comes to expect his own greatness. This was a surprise. You know, this was just a really good day. So I think they're both kind of the same, but a little bit equal. I mean, a little bit different. So.
Some other winners and losers. Again, I saw a text put Mechie as a loser on the weekend. There's a lot of drops this weekend for him.
Yeah, won the day.
Yeah, but he did have some catches as well, a number of those. And I think one of them was a touchdown, if I remember. Of course, it's a little easier to get a touchdown when we're talking about red zone and we're working in that space. But he does have that. How would you, if I asked you to place Blake Fisher as we welcome in Clint Stern, I believe we'll have Ron Hughley here, courtesy of D&M Auto Leasing, as we cross with them. How would you categorize Blake Fisher when it comes to winners or losers on the weekend, especially after practice on Saturday?
Oh, that's easy. He's a loser on the weekend. He didn't get a single, not one, first-team rep today. Ursary did. Someone else did. Maybe Clint has the name. I don't remember it off the top of my head. But
it had to be Thomas. If it was.
I think it was Thomas. I just didn't want to say it for sure. But, goes from kind of in the mix, and there's still competition going on, and getting the reps to not a single rep today. So, yeah.
That's tough. Kate Stover, I think, is a winner. He was running out there with the ones almost a majority of the time. Now, offensive line is the place where I can easily go, well, they're mixing and matching, and I could maybe wipe that away. That's not really the conversation with tight end. Clint, are you in a place where you're looking at Kate Stover as possibly starting to usurp Dalton Schultz's tight end one?
Well, I'm not real sure what that means, but that word
enough.
Means. But yeah, look, I think the beauty of the tight end situation right now is that Cade Stover is they're all different, right? So they're all different in play style. So it's not like somebody with the Texans is going to have to say, hey, our starting tight end is Cade Stover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're never going to hear, well, Dalton Schultz got, somebody took him over for tight end one.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to hear that. They're all different guys, but
different roles,
different abilities, and I do believe that Cade Stover is going to end up being the most valuable tight end on his team.
Okay.
I think, you know, I thought in OTAs, maybe I was just my disgust with Dalton Schultz last year, and then all of a sudden Cade comes out there and he's kind of the opposite of, I don't know if I can block this guy, but I'm damn sure going to chatter his teeth. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to hit him. I'm going to be physical.
Yeah.
And he was wearing them clean-ass Jordans in OTAs.
Yeah.
The high top ones, the red and black ones. And so I was like, man, maybe I need to pump my brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the more I watch practice, it's just, guys, the ball finds him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I mean, I played, Lopez, you covered it long enough. You've been around it, Reg. Like, there's certain guys. And I'll tell you one, James Whalen from Kentucky. It was Tim Couch's guy at Kentucky. He was mm-hmm. he was all I think he was all American tight end, but he wasn't much bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
What couldn't run much faster than me, but it didn't matter what field you put him on. Yeah. Didn't matter if it was a preseason game. Didn't matter if it was college. Didn't matter if it was Europe. He was going in the game with 4 or 5 catches.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to make plays that change a game. He was going to effort you to death. And yeah. and that's to me that's what Cade Stover seems like. The ball just finds him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a physicality to him that's going to get him on the field more than anybody else. And I think he's going to end up being the most valuable tight end on his team.
Ooh, I'm excited to see it. I really am. That tight end, I don't know if I want to call it a competition or whatever, but I'm very intrigued, especially because we got to talk to Brevin. Brevin was a breath of fresh air, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, John, you were a little too quick to the draw and excited to say that about Blake Fisher. I just want to say that. I mean, the quickness. Definitely he was a loser.
Hey,
I got Blake Fisher. He was a loser.
I'm not to toot my own horn here, but somebody said this weeks ago.
It was a promo. You ain't going to sell that one.
And I'm still very excited for the opportunity when Blake Fisher sits in that seat right across from
punches
us.
Me square in the nose.
Damn. Yeah.
I'm instigating, too. I want you to understand that. Like, you go ahead and get ready to bob and weave because I'm trying to set you up.
I mean, he called his number. He said, look out, folks, I got this one. I tell you, the first loser I got. Old 57.
Well, that old line's going. Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, boys, it's just the, hey, man, we're installing an offense and the defense is really good right now.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that that's what it is.
Let me ask you something real quick, very quick, because I know you guys we're kind of up against it here.
Are we?
Reggie and I were talking. we can go.
We got 4 minutes.
CJ looks like he's thinking a lot out there.
Installing an offense, new terminology. It's new guys around him. It's having to communicate more. In fact, that is my deal today. We're going to talk about it, and it's not as much a conversation. Is last year it was, how does C.J. Stroud straddle mm-hmm. the way he played quarterback the first year, the boring stuff with this new explosive stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then this year it is, how does he handle the frustration
mm-hmm.
of guys not picking it up as quickly as he does?
Or him.
Or him. Well, yeah. yeah. Well, yeah or him. Like his all, well, really, if they don't pick it up, it's him. It's you know, it's ultimately all, because the O-line doesn't pick it up, it's your ass. If the receiver runs wrong, right, it's your ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's on him. So just dealing with the frustrations that come with slow motion install,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's going to be the battle for CJ Stroud.
That's what I saw. That's what Reggie and I were talking about.
I'm very intrigued to hear the quarterback's mindset from that. And the thoughts on Mixon, obviously the additional news that we got over the weekend, and how Chippy D'Amico done came right back out, Ron. Right. I know you know about that, don't you?
Hey, man. y'all know about him.
We don't like that. Hey,
y'all think that was Schefter that pissed him off?
No, it was
Rappaport. I
want
to know who it was.
Oh, you think it was one of the national guys?
It was Rappaport.
Well, Rappaport is the one who got back out here again with the Mixon information over the weekend, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Ian is just out here just trying to get it out there first, but whatever. We will get into that, but I just want to make sure that
like
I didn't get guys. To hear.
I feel like the local fellas caught the brunt of it.
Oh, yeah, they caught the brunt of it, but they were like, catching it on behalf
like,
of the
like
cats.
That one got the old local media got deal. We're gonna wait till everybody
is gone, here.
And we're gonna wait till everybody's here every day, and we're just gonna give it to them.
Hey, I just want to make sure that Lopez and Reggie, did y'all Did we get an explanation on why that young man Colin is just wearing them sunglasses in here?
No, we did not. We did not.
And we didn't go over that.
Wait, Colin was in this producer booth wearing
shirts.
Yeah,
he sure was.
Oh yeah,
he sure was.
He was wearing the Oakleys that you wore going fishing in 2003.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I need it.
Or the frog skins.
He's right here. He's right here looking at you.
Yeah, I need an understanding here, dog. I come in
trying
here
to be figgy. Hey,
he's eating it up.
He's trying to be Figgy. Figgy wears them all the time, and we don't say anything.
Does he?
I do.
Yeah. Don't think that's how that works.
Yeah, he's wearing sunglasses.
I think a lot. Oh, I've seen Figgy rock shades on air multiple times. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, y'all wait till the white guy does it. Huh? Y'all wait till the white guy does it.
Oh no, I tell Figgy I think it's all the time.
Is that what we got going on here?
What's going on here?
I don't see
sunglasses personally.
Hey, yeah,
red shit. I don't think that's what's going on.
I don't see sunglasses. I'm very a sunglass neutral over here.
Figgy has never looked like he was about to be on the sand volleyball court. I ain't never seen Figgy look like that, but that's what Colin looked like.
Always excited to hear you guys break down what's happening in sports.
That's what the whites used to do.
That is right. That is what the whites used to do, I believe.
Still do.
Yep, that is also the case.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.